Christian holiday, Easter for the Muslims. Very much for them, isn't it? They're just still on the other side of Easter. They haven't gotten to our side of the Easter yet. So, thank you. John chapter 20, verse 19 and 21. A much shorter portion of scripture than you might have expected. But for those of us who got up early and went to sunrise service, we already had that portion of the reading. John chapter 20, verse 19, if you would stand. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You know what that overjoyed means? They went, "Woohoo!" Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Father, this morning we know that Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the first Sunday after Passover, however we want to call it, it's for us. It's what you did through your Son for us. Oh God, that reality may change us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. As you look at that scripture, 19 through 21, this is now the evening of the first day. This is not Easter, Resurrection Day, Sunday morning. This is the evening. After all the events of the resurrection and the back and forth to the tomb and where is he, this is kind of, they all gather together again and Jesus appears to them. And for me, going along with the theme of this Lenten message, I'm looking for that Old Testament, New Testament kind of thing, that Jewish culture into our culture thing. And I want to start with by asking you that if you were out on the street today, went into Wawa to get your cigarettes, get a cup of coffee, if you were out and about and someone said to you, "What's Easter about?" What would you say? And you know what's funny, because as you're going through your mind, you can think of all kinds of things that you should say, but when you're in the store and you've got a cup of coffee and somebody grabs you real quick and says, "What's Easter all about?" or your neighbor or whatever, and you're not thinking theologically, what is today about? And we might say that today is the day that Jesus rose from the grave, or we might say that today is the day that our sins are forgiven. I might say that today is the day that God reset all the things that went wrong in the Garden of Eden. And then I thought, well, what difference does it make what I would say? I want to see in this verse if I know what Jesus would say. As a matter of fact, it's what Jesus did say. If you think about the context of this verse, it comes days after the disciples were torn apart from Jesus. I mean, literally separated by force from him. And it comes just a few evenings after he was tortured and put to death right in front of them. It comes After they had days of thinking of all the questions of the things that they wanted to say or ask him, the things that were yet unspoken when he was ripped away from them. All their dreams have been shattered. They spent 3.5 years with him thinking that he was the one, and he is now in the grave. But in a moment that they had never anticipated since Friday, Jesus stood before them alive. He came into their midst, and he said this to them. He said, "Peace be with you." And later on in that verse, Kendra, he says, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." So these are the very first words that Jesus says to the gathered disciples, all gathered together. He's walking in knowing that they have had these 3 days from hell, and they never expected to see him standing there in their midst. And Jesus walks in. And Jesus never wasted words and never confused words. And when he walked in there, he had something to tell them. And you would think that he would have said, "Your sins are forgiven." Because that's what we would answer about Easter. It's the day our sins were forgiven. Or if you watch enough TV evangelism, you would think that Jesus would walk in and say, "Today's your lucky day. You got prosperity all over you." But that's not what he said. He said, "Peace be with you." And so you got to ask, well, if you read scripture, you find "peace be with you," "shalom," all over the place. So really, all Jesus was doing was giving them a cultural "how you doing." But I think not so much. I think Jesus came in and he specifically said, "Peace be with you." He wasn't saying "howdy doody." And you don't say "howdy doody," and again I say "howdy doody." He said, "Peace be with you," and again I say "peace be with you." If Jesus was just giving an ordinary greeting, he would not have repeated it. And so his intent on the repetition was to communicate something. And I think if we look back to the Old Testament, we're going to find what Jesus was communicating when he said, "Peace be with you." Isaiah 53 is a verse we all know. Verse 5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And if I were to guess or do some research, I could probably find that that verse is used almost exclusively for healing, our claiming of healing, our desire for healing, the idea that Jesus bore our physical pain. And so here is the risen Lord standing before these disciples, and his first words to them, he goes back to Isaiah, and he uses that word "peace," and which is the Hebrew "shalom." And since he's the one who was pierced by the thorns of the cursed, and since he is the one that was crushed, he's making the connection, saying, "I am he who Isaiah spoke about." And I'm going to make not just the physical connection by my presence, but I'm going to say what Isaiah talked about. And therefore, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I'm the one who brings peace." The most important thing on Jesus' mind at that moment of greeting the disciples was not their wealth, not their power, and not their get over your flu. It was peace. The word peace in our context means an absence of war. But that is not what Jesus was exclusively talking about. Shalom, the word that Jesus used, is the Hebrew word meaning peace, but that's just too shallow. You see, Jesus did not rise from the grave so that the disciples could live in an absence of war, common earthly war. Shalom means harmony, completeness, prosperity, and welfare. It refers to two entities that live together in peace. It has to do with well-being and safety. There's a list of all the things that shalom could mean: completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, and contentment. Jesus wasn't saying, don't fight with your neighbor. He was going so far beyond that into things like contentment and tranquility. And Jesus is saying this as the first thing to his disciples. He had chosen his words carefully. He made the connection to Isaiah, saying those things of the Old Testament are fulfilled in me. And now what you get from that fulfillment of the old things and of those things in the Old Testament and my resurrection is peace. That's not the only place we find this. Luke 2:14. The whole birth announcement of Christ came with glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The announcement of his birth was the announcement of peace. Not health, not prosperity, not power. Jesus greeted them with peace to say, yes, that there is no longer war between God and man. And whether you knew it or not, before your salvation, you were at war with God. People like to claim that God is a mean God and he's always at war with his man, when actually the kingdom of God is one of peace. Jesus greeted them with peace to let them know that what was foretold in the Old Testament about him was now fulfilled. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God is a God of peace. There was war between God and man. It started in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus Christ was foretold in the book of Isaiah as coming, the one who would bring, yes, health, yes, prosperity, peace first. And Jesus now, after the birth announcement of Jesus, is, hey, the one coming, peace on earth. He's coming, peace on earth. And Jesus now walks in and says, peace. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Peace is a lack of hostility, and Jesus brought down that wall. And even before his death, Jesus spoke these words. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The world is going to bring us fear and trouble. It's going to. And the thing about it is, for us, today is about peace. And it starts with peace with God, and it goes beyond just peace with God, which is, if that wasn't enough. Yes, our sins are forgiven. That's the reason we have peace. We can't have it any other way. But here then is the root of the world's troubles. You see, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I do not give as the world gives. That means the world gives a troubled peace at best. The world calls things peace that are not. The world tells us that if we drink this or smoke this or engage in this, we'll find peace. The world says if you have enough money, you'll find peace. If you rise to a certain education level, if you accomplish certain things in life, you will find peace. And what happens when you get to those places, you find turmoil. Maybe it's a different turmoil, but it's turmoil nonetheless. It is not peace that we find. The world gives a wrong kind of peace. And certainly in a world with the UN that's trying to have peace throughout the world, it's better to have a cessation of hostilities, but the reality is that the peace that the world brings is of no value. John 16:33. Jesus said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Why did he have to overcome the world? It's because the peace that the world was trying to provide is useless. And in order to bring the peace that he brings, he had to overcome it. And so the point is, the point is that Jesus lamented the idea that people don't understand how to get peace. There are all kinds of people outside of this building today that, you know, it's a nice spring day, but that doesn't bring peace, contentment, security, and all the things that shalom means. In fact, there's a promise that says, in this world, you will have trouble. He says in Luke 19:42. Now I know this is specifically Jesus talking about Jerusalem, but he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Serving another God is a way of trying to find peace. But peace is hidden from their eyes when they don't know the Lord. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach one another and admonish one another with all wisdom, with psalms, with hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with a gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. That's the whole verse. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Today is about peace, and we are members of one body, and we are called to peace. We are called to the completeness in number as a church. We are called to tranquility as a church. We as a church are called to security and safety. We as a church are called to maybe even, yes, prosperity and health, the things that are found in Christ. We are one body in Christ. We have promises that go far beyond what we know. What we know is Easter is about forgiveness of sins. But Easter is about peace. Sometimes, if you ever thought about peace, you'd ask the question, do we have control over it? Do we have any say in peace? Is peace something that happens or is created, or how does that come about? Well, I think Jesus implied that peace is something that should be a part of all of our lives. And I don't know about it, if you feel that there's no peace in your life, or just not enough of it. Matthew 10:13 said this, if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it, and if not, let your peace return to you. This is Jesus talking to the disciples, sending them out. They're not to take anything with them, and they're to go into the houses, and if you go into a village and you find a place to stay, and if that house is deserving, let your peace rest there. I don't know about you. I haven't done a deep study in this, but I've thought about this for years and been open to other suggestions as to what this could mean. But I think Jesus was saying was, you and I have peace. We're His. We have peace with God. There's a thing called peace within us, a wholeness, a completeness, a safety, a surety that's within us. And when we go somewhere, we bring that with us. When we go into a house of confusion and turmoil and all kinds of strife, and we walk in, peace walked in. And if that house chooses to have peace, then they'll hear the message of Christ and peace will enter in. And if they refuse the message of Christ, peace no longer is there as we leave. You and I, if we're in Christ and we have peace, are to bring peace to the rest of the world that's in turmoil. But we got to know we have it. And today is the day. Jesus said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Therefore, where you go, peace goes. I guess the other side of that, I hadn't considered it, is that we could go to a place and never let our peace out. Keep it to ourselves. As I've given you, so you do. The Christian church, for many years, felt its place was to tell other people off. Our place is to go into the place of turmoil and bring the peace of Christ. To say to the outside world, you too can find peace with God. His name is Christ. He is our peace. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. We're saved people, and we know the Easter message, and we've accepted it. And therefore, we are in the kingdom of God. And therefore, we live beyond eating and drinking, and we live to peace. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That peace, that wholeness, that unity, that safety, that all those things that shalom means are fruit to us in the Holy Spirit. Fruit. If your life is totally, constantly in turmoil, I bet you go to the peace fruit tree and you'll find it bare. We need to live in some, we can live active lives and still be at peace, because that's one of the byproducts of having the Holy Spirit in us. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When God gives a peace, it defies logic. It goes beyond our education level or anything we can research. Did you ever see somebody whose life should be in total shambles and they're suffering, they're sad, they're grieving, they're struggling with circumstances, but they're not devastated and destroyed. They have a certain peace, we would say. Because the peace of God transcends all of that. For those facing addiction today, Christ is our peace. That means he's our wholeness. And for those facing fear and doubts, Christ is our peace that goes beyond what we can understand and see. And there is no lasting peace in what the world would provide. But there's peace in Christ because he rose this day and he said to his disciples, "Peace be with you." The peace starts at the beginning of the end of the war between God and man. That's peace. No longer what was in the Garden of Eden has been reset. But it goes further than that. It goes deeper than that. Let's look at some scriptures that talk about what peace should be. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. Romans 15:23, the God of peace be with you all. God is not a God of war. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And so I would submit to you that Jesus was saying what happened in the garden has been corrected. The war is over. Isaiah told you I was coming, and I am. And what I bring is a restored peace between God and man. Now, the pronouncement of my birth said peace on earth. And at this moment, my brothers, I've entered in and I've brought that very peace. And I give it to you. What about today? What is today about? Today's about shalom. It's about peace. It's about your completeness. It is about your wholeness. It is about your health. It's about you having enough to survive life. It's about your well-being. We very often turn things from God-centered to man-centered. Our songs sometimes are man-centered, and our reading of the scripture is man-centered. And I don't want to make things man-centered that aren't. But Jesus came and said, this is for you. That means it is man-centered, that moment. And at the end of the first day of the week, when Jesus had risen, he said, this is for you. What I accomplished in the last 3 days is for you. Will you live in it? Will you live in it? Well, I don't know if I really want to go there, because I'm not worthy. He did it anyway. He did it for you. I am like the rest of you, where peace, internal peace, can be a struggle, because the world's trying to give me a different kind of peace. We've got to find the God peace. Yes, your sins are forgiven. But yes, God made peace. If we want to know how to evangelize the world, we go into troubled places and we say, the peace that was given us, we bring to you. Not as the world, but as God does. As a sign of the coming peace, the coming accords, two sides came Good Friday, or I'm sorry, Thursday, the Lord's Supper. Peter, James, and John all represented man. Jesus represented God, and the two sides had a meal. We break bread together. Jesus said, there's peace coming. It's going to be in me, but it's coming. When Jesus sat down with his disciples, he made the connection between himself and the Passover lamb. It wasn't just the blood of the lamb, they ate the meat of the Passover lamb. And so he said, this bread is his body. Do this in remembrance of him. Why? Because his body became the Passover lamb. And then he made the connection between his blood and the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorpost, that the death angel would pass by. He said, I am that lamb, and that is my blood. Do this in memory of him. But then he came, after he conquered death, and said to the disciples, here you go, bud. Have some of my peace. You've been eating and chewing on that world peace, and it's not getting you very far. So have mine. Mine means more than an absence of war. Mine means all kinds of benefits to you, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. But you don't understand. We don't have any account of a disciple going, you don't understand. I've had a rough day. can imagine that as Jesus is telling me his peace is with me. Oh, that's heavy. Really? Really, Jesus? Because I was with you for 3.5 years, and I mean, you just, we're always at peace. Even when you were kicking those change makers out of the temple, you just had this thing about you. You're telling me I can have some of that in my life too? He says, that's exactly what I'm giving you. It's mine to give. And 2,000 years later, we say, well, you don't understand. I mean, finances are low and the people are sick and I don't know what I'm going to do. And the same message applies. It's his peace he's given. We've got to learn to live in that peace. What is today? It's the cessation of war between God and man. And now we get to live with the benefits of peace. Jesus won the peace. He then gave us the peace. Now what are we going to do with it? Are we going to live in it? Are we going to bring it with us and share it? Or are we just going to say, that's too much work? I've known Christians that have never found any kind of peace. I know Christians that are outright still trying to fight the war with God. Just not kidding it, man. There's peace. Let it go. Your sins are forgiven. Stop trying to resolve them. Stop trying to be good enough for them. Stop trying to get it right. Live at peace and let it flow like a gift. Father, our understanding of peace will be demonstrated by the days ahead as we try and live in that peace that Jesus gave us, that he won. It was a hard-fought battle. It was a life and death. It was a physical, bloody battle, and Jesus won it. How dare we try and fight it again? Help us to live in your peace, to flow in your peace, to have peace coming from us, that other people partake of. May words like wholeness, completeness, unity, welfare, security, be ours because of Jesus. We praise you today.